Well, good morning. Here in a little while, we're going to take a vote on what we're going to give this year to Lottie Moon Christmas Offering, or what we're going to set our goal for. I've kind of been deficit in giving you guys some updates. We went to the annual associational meeting a couple of weeks ago, and there's some great things. One of the things that I love that we do is as missionaries, we support the camp. Last year at Luther's Baptist Assembly, and I went to Luther's when I was an RA way back in the day. It's just awesome that that camp is still going. And that camp is supported not by the convention, but by churches. So we give to that camp. But last year they had 235 salvations. So 235 kids came to know the Lord, and they had somewhere 100 and some, I don't remember the exact number, but over 100 that surrendered to the special service to preaching or missionaries or whatever. And so really awesome things happening at the camp. No other entity, in my opinion, in Baptist life anymore does that kind of thing, that has that many decisions. And we get kids in a camp setting with no radios or phones or anything else, and they get to hear the Lord. We just stop and they get to hear the Lord. It's wonderful. The other thing that I want to commend you guys on, in churches our size, we were the third best giving church in the association. But for churches our size, we were way above. And I want to commend you on that. It is awesome when we give to the associational work. If you guys don't realize, we've our associational director of missions retired, and so we're looking for a new director of missions. And so the pastors, over the last couple of months, 3 months or so, have been meeting together once a month and working towards that end, working towards finding a new director of missions, seeing where God is going with our association, and so on and so forth. So that work is ongoing. We also gave last month to Mary Hill Davis, which is Texas Missions. And that's kind of hard for me to realize because I'm a Texan and we don't need help from nobody nowhere. But the truth is we band together to do mission work in Texas. And so our church gave $1,500, and then the church matches that. So we gave $3,000 towards mission work in Texas in the state. And man, that is absolutely awesome. Annie Armstrong is to the nation. North American Mission Board is to every state in the nation, to include Texas. I've got a friend of mine that I graduated Howard Payne with. He is a missionary in Nevada, has started about 50 churches somewhere in there in the years he's been there. He's been there a long time, but we support nationwide. Now it's funny, from my thinking, I'm from Texas. We don't need that support. Everybody else, you know, the Yankees, they need that support. Anybody north of the, well, but that's a Texas thing. But really, we all need it. It is a wonderful thing that in 1925, God gave Southern Baptist the cooperative program and have always moved us to cooperating together. So Lottie Moon, last year, I got this little deal today. Lottie Moon, 3,650 missionaries worldwide is what we support. So our church has a part in 3,650 missionaries. 93 new people groups were engaged in 2021. There were 107,701 baptisms, 592,408 people heard the gospel, 22,744 new churches were started, and there's 176,795 new believers. We got to be a part of that because we cooperate together as Baptists. It's one of the things in working with different churches over the years and working with different denominations that God gave us this. And there's a lot of denominations now that have have taken on this same pattern of giving, cooperating together to send missionaries around the world. Used to, missionaries from a lot of the other denominations would go on the field and they would stay on the field till the money ran out. Then they'd have to come back to the churches and go church to church to church and try to get funding and go back on the mission field and come back again. It was just a massive thing all the time. They knew God had called them there. And if you ever talk to a missionary, wherever they're at, that's home for them. That's where God has called them. And that is home for them. So So anyway, these our cooperative dollars pull together, and we are able to keep 3,600 missionaries on the field all the time. Now, they come back for sabbatical every 5 or 6 years or so on and so forth, but their salaries are taken out of that. So Lottie Moon, though, every dime that we give to Lottie Moon goes to reaching people. None of that's in salaries. So it always has. Every dime that's always been given in the Lottie Moon Christmas offering goes to reaching people around the world. And so it's really awesome to be a part of that. So I just wanted to chase that little rabbit. You know, I like to chase rabbits every once in a while. Chase that little rabbit at the first, but we need to realize how much Baptists are doing. I mean, we're doing stuff. I gave Billy Kirk a deal a while ago about Texas Baptist Men. Every time there's a disaster in the United States of America, normally Texas Baptist Men disaster relief are there and helping one way or another. I've had the privilege to be a part of some of those. They're in Florida right now helping them dig out. They've been in Houston. They've been in Dallas. They've been all over the world. And it's a fantastic thing since the 1970s when Texas Baptist Men started working together. But anyway, great work going on in our state and all around the world because we cooperate together. And so it's a wonderful privilege for that. So this morning, let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 27. We've been looking at, we're going through a season of Thanksgiving. And so last week I asked you to think about it, and I hope you did this. I hope you took part in the exercise of sitting down and just looking at everything that God has given you, all of the stuff that's in your house, all of the lands and cars and houses and whatever God has given you, your salary, your every asset that you have, you took notice of and took time to give thanks for that. Man, that's a great exercise. It's a great exercise to understand that God is at work in your life. Sometimes we get off-centered. Bad stuff, excuse me, is happening. Stuff has come into our life. We get so busy. We're running here and there, and all of a sudden we think, man, is God even listening anymore? Is he even around? God is always there. He walks with you and talks with you every moment of the day. But it's good. It's good for us to stop and realize all the things that God has given us and be thankful. I said this last week, it's true. Probably nobody in this room is not in the top 10% of earners in the world. Wow. Just for that alone, what a privilege. What a privilege. So this psalm was written while David was being pursued by Saul. If you remember the story that Samuel, the prophet, went to David's house and he saw all of his big, huge, strong brothers, and then there was David, and he picked David. God chose David as the king, not because of his strength and not because of his might, not because of who he was, but because of his heart, because he loved God. Wow. So we know the story that probably David was 14 years old. He was not old enough to be enlisted in the military yet, and all of his brothers went to war against the Philistines. And so here's David. They call him a young ruddy man, a good-looking guy. He came up there, and he's underage. You know how a kid about 14 years old, he thinks he's got the world by the tail. And so he comes up there, and all of his brothers... This Goliath comes out, big, huge Goliath comes out, and David makes a statement. Who is he? Who does he think he is what he says. Who does he think he is? And his brothers are going, shut up, boy. Get down. Be quiet. And so David says, who is this that comes against the army of the living God? So story goes on. We know that David killed Goliath. Everything was great. The only problem was everybody started praising David. Man, he's great. He's a great warrior. He killed Goliath. He saved us all. And Saul the king went, I don't like that any. David's getting all the glory and I'm not getting none. So story goes on. Had David in his house, and all of a sudden he realizes that David has been anointed as the king. And Saul's not. Saul went away from the Lord. He got jealous. So he started pursuing David. David had, it said, 400 strong men with him, 400 warriors with him. Saul had a vast army. So he's pursuing David. It's interesting because there's a mountain range that runs all the way through basically Israel. And there was time after time. You know, to hide 400 guys is pretty difficult. There was times when David was on this side of the mountain and Saul was on that side of the mountain. And they were pursuing David to kill him. So why do I make such a big deal of that? Because I want you to realize when David wrote this psalm, it wasn't easy time. It wasn't good stuff going on. He was being pursued by the king. And he knew, I mean, he's a leader of 400 men. He knew that if Saul caught him, they were done. They were going to be eliminated. They were going to be taken out. When you have a responsibility over 400 mighty warriors of the Israelites, and you know if the king catches you, he's going to take you all out. That's a huge weight on your shoulders. Huge weight. So David writes this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, and it was, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I'll be confident." Gary Myers brought up a couple of weeks ago a statement that was probably, at least it was made famous by Dwight D. Eisenhower, "There's no atheist in the foxhole." Well, I'll tell you something else about a foxhole. There's not anybody there that's not scared to death. It's a place where you fear. Even I, when I was in no major conflicts or anything else in my Army career, but there was a few places. I didn't know if I was going to see the morning or not. Fear is easy to grip you. In the Army, they taught you to take that fear and turn it into discipline. Move the fear into discipline. Everybody's going to be afraid. Move it to discipline, and that brings you to action. But I want to tell you that there's a different way and a better way. Take that fear and lay it on the Lord. He wants to be your strength and your shield. He wants to take that fear out of you. The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. He wants to take that away. In the Army, we had a lot of confidence in our weaponry and our skills and all the things that we could do. And yet, there came a time when you realized none of that was adequate. None of it was going to make it happen. You had to come down to a basic fact. The only one to protect you would be God and God alone. And by the way, the fear leaves you. The fear leaves you. Because God is there. So this morning, I believe one of the greatest enemies that Satan uses against us is fear. We fear the unknown. We fear if it's going to rain or not going to rain. We fear if the crop's going to make or not going to make. We fear if our family's going to make it through this. We fear that all of a sudden we have cancer or some infirmity in our life and we don't know whether we're going to make it. We fear and we fear and we fear. And Satan wants to blow that up if he can. I'm amazed. I don't know how many of y'all watch MeTV and some of the stuff for old people. I like to watch MeTV because it's got some good shows on it. But about every 5 minutes, it seems like, there comes another commercial. Are you ready for retirement? You ought to be scared if you're not ready. Do you have enough life insurance? Wow. I mean, it's just pumped into you. You ought to be afraid if you don't have this stuff. It's a fear in your life. God wants to take that away. He wants to take it away. I don't know what I'm going to do for retirement. Don't really even care. I don't know what God is going to bring me to, but I know that God will. Sheila, I've been through times when there wasn't nothing there. And yet God has always provided. You can tell I haven't missed many meals over the years. God has always, always, always provided. And He always will. He's always there. He's always our strength and our shield. He's always there. So I say this morning that
we stop being afraid and start giving thanks. Because our God is going to protect us. He's going to take care of things. He's got us in His hands. It says that He walks with us and talks with us every day of our lives. I will never leave you nor forsake you, period. His love never stops. No matter what we do and no matter how we turn our back on Him, He never stops loving us and caring for us. He never stops pursuing us. He never stops taking us, taking care of the stuff that's around us. I don't know if you've ever thought about, I have, I guess because I've been in this profession for a long time. I thought about people, you know, there's always somebody having a wreck. In Lubbock, are there always somebody getting run over? I never have understood this one either. There's somebody getting run over almost every night in Lubbock, Texas. I'm like, how do you not go? I think I'm gonna run in front of this car. How do you do that? How do you get run over in front of the every single night? But you know that's only 1 second. 1 second made all the difference in that guy's life. 1 second would have made the difference whether he got hit by that car or he didn't get hit. 1 second. Wow. Imagine how many of those are in our days and lives, and we don't know what's going to happen a second from now, but God does. What if every second God protected us? I've thought about how many times I left the house. I rode motorcycles for years and years and years. Thought about how many times I left the house, and you know I'm a time freak anyway, and I would go, I'm a minute and a half late. Oh no. My mind's going click, 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 click. And God has stopped me for a minute and a half. And I thought about it. In that minute and a half, what could have happened? Maybe that person would have ran a red light. Maybe somebody would come up rear-ended me like in the motorcycle. Who knows? God does. And He's protecting us. He's protecting us. We ought to give Him thanks for that. From all the things we don't know that would happen to us, we should give Him thanks. David goes on to write this. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek in verse 4, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to seek Him in His temple, for in the day of trouble He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me up on a rock. Paul writes in the book of Romans, Chapter 8, I consider that all of the present sufferings we're going through are nothing compared to the glory that we'll get. Wow. We'll receive one day. What a pronouncement. Paul had been shipwrecked. He had been beaten half to death and left for dead because of his preaching the gospel. He had been before the Romans, been sentenced to death. His head's going to cut off, and he writes, I consider that the present sufferings are nothing compared to what's coming. Wow. Giving thanks right in that moment. Giving thanks in all that's going on in our lives. Giving thanks, realizing that we've got a focus in mind. You know, when you play a sport of any kind, you've got an end goal. I'm not going to talk about Texas Tech's end goal. I'm not going to go there because you have too many Tech fans in here. But you got an end goal. Most of the time when a coach comes in, he goes, we're going to win state this year, boys. We're going to win district this year. We set these goals, got these lofty goals up here. We're going to run this speed. We're going to do this thing. Boy, that's your goal. Our goal is heaven. Wow. We ought to run this race of life as if we're going to win the crown. I remember, I don't know how many years ago it was now, we were in Gatesville. RAs were out there playing football. They said, preacher, would you be the all-time quarterback? I said, yes, I will. I thought, man, it's going to be all right. I go back there, throw a pass or two, and I go back, and these little boogers come after me. And I'm thinking, I ain't going to let them get me. I take off around the side. They can't touch me. And, you know, about halfway down the field, I realized, wow, David, you're out running a bunch of 10-year-olds. That is really really good. And about that time, I pulled something. I don't know what it was, but it pulled. And I had, all the years I played football, I never pulled anything like that. I mean, I never. And all of a sudden, I mean, it was real. And so I made it to the end zone, and the little boy goes, "Brother Dave, you all right?" I went, "Nope." "Here, you're quarterback now." So I hobble over to the house, and Sheila has all the compassion. "Well, if you wasn't playing football like an idiot." And it was Wednesday night, by the way. Did I mention that? I had to get in front of the whole church and tell them what I did. Wow. I say that to say, man, I wanted to get to that goal. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes in the middle of going for the goal, something happens. But it's still our goal. To realize that God has given us the goal of heaven, and we're going to win the crown when we get there. Wow. That is exciting to me. That's exciting to me. I can thank God not just that He's my protector and provider, and I don't have to fear about anything, but I can thank my God because He's given me a goal to shoot for. And it's a true goal. It's going to happen. Man, when I leave this life, I'm going to win the crown. That's awesome. That's a good day. That's a good day. Philippians 4:8 says this, "Whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, fix your mind on those things." Man, it's easy to look around us. I hardly ever watch the news anymore, big news and stuff. I watch, you know, I'm more interested in Ukraine than anything else. Those people excite me sometimes. I know there's war going on over there, but them people are cool. Most of them love the Lord. And so, anyway, because there's so much bad stuff happening. So much. So many bad things going on. By the way, Gary Myers was right on that too. Y'all got to tell Gary that I said he was right twice, by the way, because that just don't happen very often. But he was right that bad stuff has always been happening. Ever since the beginning of time, ever since Cain killed Abel, bad stuff's been happening. And it hadn't quit. We hadn't learned anything as humans. We think of ourselves as intelligent beings, and yet we do the stupidest things all the time. We repeat history over and over and over again. Yet we know more about it now than we ever have. Pick up our little computer in our pocket, look at it, and go, "Wow, man, bad stuff happening." It's always been happening. You know that God's still God. He's still in control of all things. He's in control of all of that. He's given us a goal to shoot for. We get away from that by centering our heart and life on the realization that God is truth. God is real. Heaven is reality. Wow, we can be thankful every single day of our lives for that. We can be thankful that God is a God who casts out fear. We no longer have it. One last passage in this psalm. The 14th verse, last verse of the 27th psalm says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." It's interesting. You're in a bad spot. A minute's a long time. A minute's a long time. And yet, if you wait, God's coming. God's coming. He's there. He's not left you. He's not left you alone. This is the second time we've seen this passage of Scripture, and it's all throughout Scripture. Wait on the Lord. I have a problem with that, by the way. I come in, look at Scripture. God says, "This is what we need to do." Well, I can handle the small stuff, God. Just get out of the way. You know, I know. I'll take care of this. I got it. Instead, God's going, "If you'll just wait a few minutes, I'll take care of all that. If you'll just wait a few minutes, I'll open the door for you. If you'll just wait a few minutes, that person who you were going to go see that's going to slam the door in your face, I'm going to bring something in their life that's going to make them open the door, and they're going to be willing to hear what you got to say. If you'll just wait a few minutes, Dave, I'll take care of it." Wow. Wait on the Lord. Be strong. Wait on the Lord.
give thanks with a grateful heart. Today, as you go through your week, I want you to think on these things. God is my refuge and my strength. Why am I going to fear? My God's got this. And secondly, He's given me something to run for. Man, sometimes when you get at my age especially, you think, well, I've had kids, I've done everything, I'm done. Just want to go lay down, get in an easy chair and quit. Man, you need something to get you energized. Here it is. God has got a goal for you. God has got this, and He's got a place for you to run to. And as you're going, you can take all of these people with you. Wow, what a great opportunity God has got before us. There's a song, a little chorus that I picked up somewhere, and I tried to find where it came from, but I don't know. I don't know if somebody wrote it. But it goes like this. You're my hiding place, safe in your embrace. Lord, you are my hiding place. You're my hiding place. I long to see your face. Father, you are now my hiding place. Make God that for you. Thank Him that you're in the shelter of His arms, that you're in a safe place in the middle of the war, in the middle of the battle. Today, let's be thankful. Not just for what God has given us last week and all those things, and you ought to take inventory of that all the time, but be thankful that God has got you in His hands. Today, we don't have to worry no more. No more fear. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for what You're doing. I thank You for who You are. I thank You that You are our God and our King. Father, I thank You that You're my hiding place. No matter where I'm at, no matter where You send me, and no matter where I'm, what I've come into, Father, You're there. You protect me, You guide me, You direct me. If I wait on You, Father, You move mountains for me. And God, I am so thankful for that. I give You praise today, Father, for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. God's inviting you this morning. Maybe in your heart, man, you just need to reach out to Him and be thankful for all that He's done. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Today's the day. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life. I want that to happen to yours too. As we sing together, whatever decision you need to make, I ask you to make it.
And tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals He's waiting and watching.
You just be seated just a moment. So we have two things we need to do. And I want everybody in here, because whether you're a member here or not, you can come. It's just fine with all of us. Goal for Lottie Moon last year was $2,500. What do we want to give What do we want to set a goal for Lottie Moon for this year? Anybody? Want to keep it the same? $2,500 again. Okay, motion made, $2,500. Everybody in favor of that, say praise the Lord. Good deal. This is an informal business meeting, by the way. No Robert's Rules of Order in this place today. Yo. We did, the church matched it last year. So we'll match it again this year. I mean, we'll set the goal at $2,500. The church always matches whatever we give. So anyway, we'll go from there. And then we always have, if I understand right, tell me, Barbara, if we're not, do we have a Christmas fellowship every year sometime around Christmas? So what day do we want to have that Christmas fellowship? Pull out your little calendars. What day do we want to have Christmas fellowship this year? You say, well, that's a long ways away. No, it's not. It's just tomorrow. Christmas 25th is on a Sunday. What Sunday do we want to have Christmas fellowship? What are we? Yes, the fourth of December we have the community Thanksgiving Christmas celebration. That's the fourth. So it'll be at First Baptist Church this year. I get to preach because I'm the new kid on the block. No, I don't have anything on the 18th. You want to recommend that? Okay. 18th, is that okay with everybody? Christmas fellowship on the 18th? All in favor, say praise the Lord. Woo, 18th it is. Done. Yo.
Are we going to have a meal with that?
Yes.
Evening meal?
Yeah, we'll probably, look, let's, what do y'all think? Evening meal, noon meal? What's going to be easiest for everybody? Well, I know evening meal is going to be easier for the ladies. But y'all have it at 4 o'clock? How's that sound? Because that way everybody be home if they need to before dark. 4 o'clock okay? 18th? Boom, we're done. Okay. Yes. Okay, so we're giving 2-1 on it. Okay. Okay. So is that what we want to do again this year? Is double it from the church? I agree. Is that okay with everybody? This means yes. This means no.
So will the goal still be $2,500?
Goal's $2,500. Church will double it or triple it, whatever. 2-1. Okay. Thank y'all. Yes, ma'am. Decorating the church for Christmas. Lisa, do you want to address that? Well, I don't know who normally does it, but I know Lisa's all in decorating stuff. Which one, Dana? Dana? When do we want to decorate the church? Today. All right. That's getting in the Christmas spirit right there. That's good. I like it.
Just as a note, in the past couple of years, Brother Joel has both been decorating and unmade.
You do not want to do this.
I am not, Brother Joel.
Guys, I had a Christmas tree that was in a really bad shape. Some of the branches were breaking off, and David went out and he said he was fixing it. So he comes back in, and he has duct taped the
There's a point there somewhere, I know. Okay. But when do we want to do that, Dana? Do we usually do that right after Thanksgiving or before? After Thanksgiving? So, okay. How about you guys talk about that? You guys talk about that amongst yourselves, and we'll get a date. Next week we'll bring a date. How about that?
The Sunday after Thanksgiving we have the nursing home service.
Yes.
Sunday
and the Sunday after that we have the
community
one. That's fine. I don't know what date that is, but
20th.
We'll shoot for that. We'll y'all talk amongst yourselves. We'll shoot for the 20th and see what happens. Woo! I like it. Potluck is good. Potluck is good now. Okay. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And we want to get everybody to donate, like we've been in the past, $10 for
We can do that. We can do that. We also have, we need to get flour, cornmeal, what else?
Sugar.
For the food bank. Food bank. We'll kick that off next week, but just get you a little mind thinking about that. Okay, gentlemen, deacons, I need to meet with you for just a minute after this. We got a question that we need to. Yes. Yes. Yeah, George got some problems, so.
Yeah, I think George is supposed to come home today.
We hope.
Maybe tomorrow. Okay.
Okay. Well, let's stand together. We'll be dismissed. Oh, anything else? Glory, glory. Gentlemen, I need to meet with you. That's the anything else. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time together. I thank you that we can come together as a family and get everything sorted out. And Father, that we'll be doing everything you want us to do. God, we give you praise for that. And God, we just pray as we leave this place that we leave with thanksgiving and joy in our hearts, Father. What an awesome, awesome God you are. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed. When the fat lady sings.